Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to Wrinkled Not Dead, episode number 55. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
WrinkledNotDead.com is our blog, and you can find all things to do with Wrinkled Not Dead, including all of our past episodes there. Or you can go to iTunes. However you find us, it would be really great if you shared us and also rated us, huh?
Yeah, if you can tell your friends and family. I keep saying this on every podcast.
I hope it's not boring.
Yeah, but it's the best form of advertising. We just really want to grow this. We love doing this. We love doing research and bringing you information that helps growing older, and for younger people, too.
Yeah.
Stuff that we've gone through.
Very nice to be. It's gratifying to have young listeners.
It is. It really is.
The show is designed to be for people who are over 50, who are struggling to kind of keep up with technology, for one thing. But learning how to have the best last years of your life is what we're all about. We met 35 years ago. We've been married 33 years.
Wow.
We worked together for our entire life, and we've had a company for many, many years called Michael Bell Productions.
And Michael Bell Productions, we do radio and TV advertising.
Mm-hmm.
We do corporate training or any kind of training, really. We do public speaking.
Indeed.
And now we are helping people with podcasts.
That's true. Helping people to establish their own blogs and their own podcasts.
Exactly.
Because at first it is a bit mystifying, but once you get onto it, it's just so much doggone fun.
You know, I was watching the Today Show today. What was interesting is they have some of these younger people on there.
Yeah.
And they even struggle. When I say younger, like Christian Slater, for example, he was on and he's like 40 some years old.
Really? He is?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Oh,
I know. And he still says he struggles with things like Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and all that. So he's mystified how to do a bunch of that kind of stuff.
Did you hear, speaking of Snapchat, that they released their first earnings records this past week or something? Didn't come up to expectations. There's two guys who founded Snapchat. They lost $1 billion each in one day.
Gosh.
Easy come, easy go.
Yeah,
huh?
But so what's the moral? Hang in there. You
okay,
got a good
now,
product.
Now, if you're those two guys, if you want to do a segment called Rose and Thorn, a thorn being something that didn't go well today or this week, or in a rose being something that did, then you'd have to say their thorn was the episode this week. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Poor guys. $1 billion.
But made quickly, too.
Yeah, exactly. Made in about 14 minutes.
Oh,
as well. So what's our rose and thorn? Go ahead. You take it first.
Okay. Well, my rose is, well, first of all, let me start with the thorn because it'll lead into the rose.
Okay.
My thorn is that I have to travel again, which I absolutely hate. We did a episode on the fear of flying.
Yeah, it was actually one of our most popular. You
it
know
was.
Remember
and,
that?
Yeah, and I still...
Anxiety, airport anxiety.
It's just so hard for me to let go when I'm on a plane, to say, okay, I trust the pilot, and I trust the equipment, and I trust... It's very difficult. However, as I get older, I think,
well,
goes
you're not
down,
alone.
It's gone down.
Look at all the recent episodes of madness on aircraft.
Oh.
It's people are crammed into these things, and it's not easy.
Yeah, and when I was traveling back a couple weeks ago to Toronto to get my eyes looked at,
right,
there was somebody, an older couple, and they were frustrated that they had missed a plane, a connection, and they were just yelling and screaming. And I felt sorry for them, but I also felt sorry for the people behind the counter because it wasn't their fault either.
I know.
It's just tough all around. But
mm-hmm.
The rose that's going to come out of that is,
yep,
I'm going home to see my mom.
Who's 95.
95 years old, and her little dog, Emma. And we are just going to have the best time. So when I'm up in that plane and it's turbulence going on and I'm
mm-hmm.
thinking, oh no, I have to think, well, I'm going to go just have the very best time seeing my mom. Now, the sad part about it is,
yeah,
I was not able to be with her on Mother's Day, which is coming up on Sunday.
On Sunday.
In the United States and Canada. I know it's on different times in different places of the world.
That's our whole thing today is Mother's
Day.
We're going to publish this early. I know for folks who will listen to this 6 months from now, but for us, it's kind of a big deal because we're going to get the show done early so that we can celebrate all together about Mother's Day.
Yeah, so my point being is that,
yeah,
I'm not going to be there on Sunday on the,
yeah,
actual Mother's Day, but because I'm working,
yeah,
which is my other rose,
uh-huh,
I am dog sitting this week, which I love,
mm-hmm,
absolutely love. It's part of my DNA. It is just like breathing to me. And when I said to my mom, I have a job dog sitting and house sitting for 1 week from Monday through Sunday. So I'm going to miss Mother's Day, but I will be there on Tuesday, and I promise you I'll make up for it. We're going to have so much fun. Tuesday is going to be our Mother's Day. And she's, you know, she said to me,
no,
she's so
what'd
cool.
She say?
She said, if you're dog sitting, then you do that. That's the most important thing. She always puts.
Well, guess where you got your love for animals?
Yeah.
Come on.
So that
I
was
know
cool.
Your mother. Yeah, that is. So, well, my rose is that, speaking of dogs, we have Boone and Pixie for another week because their parents are going to the Cannes Film Festival.
Wonderful.
Which is an opportunity that came up for them, just bingo, so they'll be with us. So I have five dogs. You're over with the other two dogs. It's a full house. Full
it's a dog's house. Life.
And I guess my thorn has to be supportive of your thorn because you're going to be traveling again and we're all going to miss you so much.
Aw.
Well, it's your Mother's Day too.
That's right. I know. Yeah. But you know what? I'll call you all the time. I'll be driving you nuts.
You are a pretty good communicator.
I
have to say that. All right. Okay. So get those out of the way. But what we're going to talk about today is celebrating moms around the world.
Absolutely. And moms can come in any shape, size. A mom can be any kind of person you think of. A friend can be like a mom.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a blood relation mom. An aunt can be like a mom.
Yeah.
You name it, this is who we're celebrating.
Momness comes from all sources.
We are. We're celebrating people who nurture people.
Yeah, that's a great way to mm-hmm. explain that. Well, you've had a couple of folks like that in your life.
I have.
You know, you have your mom.
I have my mom.
I lost my mom now. I'm 65. Jen is 60, and she passed when she was 83 a few years ago. But we've also had like surrogate moms in our life as well. You want to tell them about that?
We have. I've had two surrogate moms in my life. One who has passed, Esther Schwartz.
Yeah.
She was the most amazing woman. She was like the mom that was always there for me. And she listened to all my problems. She never judged. And she gave me excellent advice. I just love her.
She was a Holocaust survivor, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah. And I just miss her so, so much. Yeah. She was amazing. And then, of course, Elaine Doddridge. She's been on our show many times.
Yeah, several times now.
She is doing well, and I just love her. And we actually celebrated Mother's Day last week with her. And she is an inspiration to me on how to grow old gracefully. And man, she's sharper in the head than I am. She is physically strong.
Yeah.
She's incredible. So she's taught me a lot. And she's another one who's always there for advice.
And she's a killer Scrabble player.
Oh, she would. She just
she devastates us every time we play. I don't want to do it anymore.
She's unbelievable. She gives us unconditional love.
Yeah. You know, she's a wonderful gal to have around.
So happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day. What's the biggest memory you have of growing up with your mom?
Oh, easy. The biggest memory I have of growing up with my mom is the love of animals. We could have any kind of guinea pig, alligator, chicken, fish, anything. And she taught me how to love anything living. She didn't even want to kill a spider. That I've brought through my whole life, and that gives me great peace, and I really admire her for that. And number two, her cooking. Oh, her baking was so good. I'm sorry I had to add that. But she would make this cake, Mike, this chocolate cake with this hard white icing, and she said you had to use a double broiler.
Oh, yeah. You don't see those very often.
And we would come home from school every day, and there would be something baked. That was back in the old days when, you know, well, we were fortunate. My dad went to work, and my mom got to stay home. And man, those memories all, and I always looked forward to the smells of the house of cooking.
That's wonderful.
Anyway, sorry, I digress.
No,
but
no.
I went right there.
Now, I'm thinking about that kind of thing with my mother.
Tell me about your mom.
Well, yeah, with my mother, just to hang on to the cooking thing for a while. It sounds bizarre, but one of the fondest memories I have of growing up was coming home for lunch. And she would make, and we always ask for this too, Lipton's chicken noodle soup. And peanut butter sandwiches on white bread. Just terrible. I mean, all it is a vehicle to deliver salt. Is that a chicken maybe passed by one day and they made this. But we loved that kind of stuff. And after a while, I mean, there were five of us, five boys.
That's a lot.
I know. There were five boys. And so my mother really had to be quite the disciplinarian because my father went off to work too. He worked for the railroad for a number of years, and then he had a roofing company with some other folks. So he was always doing his thing, but, you know, the wild thugs back at home, you know, that's a lot of kids. So mom had to be pretty organized and pretty strict with us at times because we needed it. You know, Otherwise, it could have drifted off into bad behavior and all that. So I really admire her for the way she did that with us. And this is weird, but I'm thinking too, they kind of, we almost had like two families. There were three of us all in a clump, like right one after another. There was, I'm the eldest, then my brother Fred, who's passed, and brother Ron, who we were very close to. And then there's a space of 10 years.
Yeah. She decided again.
Looking for a girl, I'm sure. Then had brother Gord, and finally brother Glenn. So there's a whole big, there's like two clumps of family in there, but we're close in the modern way. We're always in touch on social media now. So.
You have an incredible family, and I have to say,
I do.
I really miss your mom because she did teach me how to sort of put everything into perspective and mm-hmm. be tough.
Yeah.
And she kind of taught me as much as I could learn. I mean, I'm not very good at it. Tough love.
Yeah.
But man, she's
well,
a neat
a
lady.
Difference. Your mom is like you, very, very sensitive. We're saying we're going Canadian again, aren't we? You're my mom. The mom.
M-U-M.
Well, I was born in Canada, so I mean, you know, but you have those capabilities and those traits and those talents and skills as well. You're a very sensitive person, where my mom, by description earlier, had to be kind of, you know, had to put that aside and be a disciplinarian and be kind of tough love every now and again.
Yeah, deep down inside, this lady had a lot of sensitivity.
Yes.
And it came out a lot when she came to visit us here.
Yes.
In the United States, because we would just go have great walks, great talks. Yeah. And she could let sort of that shield down, because she had to be tough.
Yeah.
Really tough.
Didn't she used to love walking the beach?
Oh, yeah.
In Del Mar, California.
Wherever you are, happy Mother's
happy
Day.
Happy Mother's Day. When you think about moms around the world, we're fortunate because we do have a worldwide audience. So I'm thinking of people in different countries. And I know everyone's country does have at least some form of a Mother's Day. It may not fall at the same time. What we did, just because we're old and wrinkled and wrinkled not dead, we went and scrounged up some young friends to see what they had to say about their mother. Just ask them very simple questions, you know. So give us your name, your mom's name, one of the best qualities about your mom, and what you'd like to say to your mom on Mother's Day. And so we went down to the JetBed office, a friend of ours company, and just scrounged up all the kids. So we're going to hear now from... you're going to love this too, because we recorded this the other day and I'm still laughing about some of the things here. You're going to hear first the voice of Mimi, then you'll hear Rocco, his brother Dante, which is hysterical, those two guys, Valerie, and Taylor. Take it away, memes.
Hello, my name is Mimi and my mom's name is Julie. And I think the best thing about my mom is that when I was little, she never raised her voice at me or never yelled at me. And so I feel like that came down to me, and now I feel like I don't have an angry bone in my body because of it. And for Mother's Day, what I would like to say to her is just thank you for always being so level-headed with me and kind. And I just feel like she really did a good job with me and my brother, and she just instilled her kind heart and how to treat other people, and she's always just been so generous, and I really appreciate her.
My name is Rocco Petrillo, and my mom is Mom. The best thing about my mother, certainly her comedic side and her cooking, so I love her for that. And I just want to say I love you, Mom, and thanks for being my mom for 30 years. And I love you and hope you enjoy your Sunday.
Alrighty. So my name is Dante. My mother's name is Miriam. And the best thing about my mother, I would have to say, is her cooking. She's always been a very good cook, and she makes, probably my favorite dish from her is the meatballs. She makes good Italian food, so that is probably my favorite thing about my mother. The one thing I just want to say is I love you, Mom. I hope you feel appreciated on Mother's Day, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
I am Valerie, and my mom's name is Rhonda. I would say the best thing about my mother is her sense of humor and her laugh. Just every time I hear her laugh, it's one of those deep laughs that you just can't not laugh to.
Can you do it?
No, I can't even try to do that. You know, it wouldn't do it justice. And then also her strength, I would say. Like, I could come to her with anything and she'll always listen to me and support me. And that's huge. And I love her so much for that. And so I want to say to her on this Mother's Day, just I appreciate every single thing that you've done for me, even when I was obnoxious as a teenager. You know, they're always there. And thank you. Just thank you.
Hello, how are you? My name is Taylor O'Connor. Can I say that they can call me the Bare Naked Cucumber? If not,
you are the Bare Naked Cucumber.
So my mom's name is Jaeger. Her maiden name is Sally. I don't know. She's not from Germany, so I don't know where Jaeger actually came from. But she changed it. So I've always known her as Jaeger. But what is the best thing about my mother? Well, the interesting thing about my mom is when I was born, my mom and my dad were already divorced, so I never was born with a dad in the household. So my mom technically played both roles. And I think one of the best things about her is she really transitioned the roles of, I would say, from being the supportive, caring mom, but also very stern and strong, because she always shielded everything from us, and technically never, I don't want to say she never showed emotion in the sense of she wasn't caring, but I've never seen her cry in the sense of whenever something emotional happened in that sense, she never brought it to us. It was always it always happened behind closed doors, and I think it was a way of showing strength. And I've always thought of her as a very powerful, very strong woman, because I think that's the way that my grandma was, and I think that's the way she herself saw my grandma, is just whenever something happens, regardless if it's, instead of reacting emotionally, she kind of would go away and come back stronger. And I've always kind of admired that about her. That technically goes into the next question, is what would I like to say to my mother on Mother's Day? Is I personally would like to, I think everyone says this, but again, I would like to be as half a good a parent as my mom was to me, because I think a lot of us, we are versions of our parents. So if I can do half of what she's done for me to my kids, I think that I will leave a good legacy moving forward and be remembered. Because I mean, no matter what, if I have a kid, they will definitely remember, they will know my mom, and I will, you know my mom from, I love my mom for the rest of my life. So she's left a lasting impression.
Oh my gosh.
Aren't they cutest?
They are so cute.
I know. But I did the interview. You were babysitting, mm-hmm. or dog sitting. Mm-hmm. So I did these interviews alone, and they were a little nervous about it, but they all got behind the idea of doing this, because you could tell by looking them in the eyes that they were excited to be able to do something like this for their mother. And though they're in their 20s, it was a gift to have these interviews with them. They were so cool. I loved them.
It just shows you how important a mother is.
Yeah.
Whether it's your blood mother, or whether it's a friend mother, or that you call a mother.
Yeah. Dante and his mom's meatballs.
I know.
I don't know.
You know, it's all, yeah.
And then Taylor has to come out, and Taylor has to give a full explanation about all this.
Well, Taylor's amazing.
He is amazing. And there was a reference there to the Bare Naked Cucumber. We're not going into it.
Well, it's just his nickname.
A nickname. But I left it in. I was going to cut it out, but no. It is his nickname. So.
No. So that was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Jen's Health Minute.
I have spoken on and on about my nails are falling out, my itchy skin and all that. It's basically due to the prednisone that I was taking for my eyes. And
the steroids,
yeah, all this stuff, but also nerves. You know, I've had it's been a tough, tough year. You know, you try to spin it good and, you know, see all the goodness out of it, but, you know, the fear comes in. At Metafast, where I'm still on my diet, still mm-hmm. losing.
Doing spectacularly
well. I am.
Well.
I still have a few more pounds to go. One of the people there, the nurses there, said to try taking a thing called Vital Proteins.
Yeah.
Collagen peptides.
Okay.
I'm not doing a commercial for this, but I will post it on wrinklenotdead.com. It is really helping me.
Okay.
It's a little packet that you put in, like,
some
water.
Yeah, you're holding it in your hand right there.
Yeah, and you put it in water. I put it in Evian bottled water. And I thought, you know, we've tried all this stuff. Nothing works. My nails are getting stronger. My hair is sort of growing in better. And mm-hmm. my skin feels better. And so I started looking up what collagen does.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And collagen helps improve the health of skin and hair.
Mm-hmm.
It reduces joint pains and degeneration.
It boosts metabolism, muscle mass, and energy output, which I had no idea.
It strengthens nails, hair, and teeth. I wasn't even thinking about my teeth.
Me either. Teeth. Okay. It improves liver health.
And it protects your heart. Cardiovascular
this
health.
Stuff is like miracle.
Well,
by the way, how does it taste?
It has no taste.
Oh, okay.
This particular one has no taste.
Okay.
And it also helps because I don't eat a lot of animal I mean, I only had none, actually. What am I talking about? Fish. I eat fish and eggs. And so the counselor there was concerned I wasn't getting enough protein
to keep too.
Muscle mass, because I'm losing some muscle mass as I diet.
Yeah.
And she said that this would help as well. So go on the blog, wrinklenotdead.com. I'll have more on this, and you can take a look on it and see if it's something that works for you. I'm sure there's other kinds you can take as well.
Oh, yeah. But we'll have the example that you have.
Yeah.
Okay. You can... go find it anywhere you want.
I have to say one thing. I was at Jersey Mike's picking up a sandwich for a friend of mine.
That's a sandwich.
Yeah, this is just place. Off the by and by. And yeah. I had, you know, I was dressed kind of young. And when I was paying for the sandwich, the guy said, oh, are you buying this for your daughter over at Torrey Pines High School? And I thought, yes, yes.
You'll must be the
collagen. And I said, I'm way too old to have a daughter in high school. But I thought, could that be the peptides and the collagen?
How come I only hear about this while we're doing the show? You didn't tell me this.
Actually, I forgot about it. And then I started feeling my skin. I thought, maybe it's working because I don't have the money.
Well, you look great. I mean, partially the diet, for sure. But you know what? It's true. You maybe do have a pinkish hue
from Seinfeld.
You
know, but I don't have money for Botox or facelifts or anything like that. So this is it.
Well, you're doing...
I come as I am.
You doggone good looking about it, too. Your pictures to prove it on the blog. Okay, time off.
All right, you start.
I will. Remember, if you listened to last week's episode, I got a book from you. You had read it. You said, it's great. La-da-da-da-da. Read it. And I thought, The Widow? Oh, okay. So I picked it up. It's by Fiona Barton. And I wanted to let you know that I went through it like a hot knife through butter because it was phenomenally good. I want to recommend this one because if you're looking for one that's got a lot of twists and turns and it's a heck of a good read, this is for you. It's called The Widow by Fiona Barton.
And didn't they say if you like Girl on a Train?
Yeah, that's right. It's in that ilk, but it rises above most of that stuff. It does. So check it out.
So, like we said, time off is something that's inexpensive because, you know, as we get older, we
don't have any money
to go on these trips and do this and do that.
Exactly.
So, mine is an interesting one because I've been house sitting and dog sitting. I'm sort of away from the office and away from the daily stuff that I do.
Yeah.
And I liked the sound of silence.
Yeah. It is quiet where you're working.
Very quiet. And for a moment there, I just sat and listened to nothing.
It doesn't happen very often where we live, huh?
It really doesn't, because we live in a townhome and it's very dense.
Yeah, it is.
And this is a bigger home and it's very quiet and very serene. And I just loved it. I was thinking of the Simon and Garfunkel, remember Sound of Silence?
Yeah, there is a classic for
you. Yeah, classic.
The Sound of Silence.
So sometimes if you can... just stop everything and just try to listen to silence.
Well, now I'm going to have that in my head. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Gee whiz.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, anyway, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so.
All right. Remember when? That's another little thing that we do. We cast our mind back, and I hope that you're going to join us in this journey because we love to do Remember When. Remember when there were no seat belts in cars?
I do indeed.
Oh, your mom and dad would sit in the front of the Biscayne or whatever it
was.
The Impala. Everybody's at the Impala. And all the kids in the back seat, no seat belts. I mean, you were just a cork flying around in there if there was a problem. It was amazing. And it brought back to my mind, remember also... when the national speed limit became 55 miles an hour.
I forgot about that. That's right. It was so slow.
It was ridiculous.
What was it for?
In 1974, it actually became from the oil crisis in 1973. So remember there were long lines of people at gas stations and the stations would run out of fuel and people were screaming and going nuts. So they passed a law to reduce... to get the most out of a gallon of gasoline, they figured out 55 miles an hour was optimum, at least at that time. And so that's now, you find that speed limits were, you know, 70 miles an hour.
Well, 65
in California. Uh-huh. 70 miles an hour in Arizona. I mean, you find it varies, and in some countries, particularly like in Germany, there is no speed limit on the Autobahn. You just go as quickly as you want. Interesting point, and I'll just touch on it for a second. They did some research about that, and people, if left to their own devices on the freeway, will drive 72 miles an hour.
Really?
Statistically, it's been proven. 72. So just let them go at 72. Forget about it. Well, you imagine.
Well, they need the money for the tickets.
The money. Always look for the money, right?
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. So I have one. I remember one.
Okay.
And it kind of harks back to what we're talking about.
Mother's Day again.
Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. Remember when dinner time was when everyone sat around the table and talked about their day?
Yes, I do.
I would come home. My mother would have dinner between 5 and 5:30, sometimes 6 if my dad had to work late. But we all sat down at the dinner table together, and my dad talked about his day. He asked about us at school, how we did at school, what we learned at school, and my mom talked about. And I'd forgot how precious that time was, how calm it was. We weren't allowed to answer the phone at that time, and it was family time.
Now, did you eat in the kitchen or the dining room?
The dining room.
You did?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We always had a dining room, and we always ate in the dining room.
Unbelievable.
And bless my mom, she was always popping up to go grab something, and, you know, it was just, I should help. But I was a little kid then. I'll never forget that. That was wonderful. And I know that, you know, we're so busy, and we're going in different directions, and we move a lot quicker than we did back then.
Yeah.
But man, if everybody could set aside, like, just one day where the family could get together and just have dinner.
It's almost impossible.
It is.
It's a lost concept now, but I'll bet you it returns, because it is so important for us to keep in our memory, for one thing, because those recollections, and now we're sharing it with young people out there, it's up to you to make that happen with the kids.
I think that would be very, very important, and everybody would have to put their cell phones away and just talk, look at each other.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that goes on in facial expressions and that I remember my mom was worried, but she was trying to put on a good face, and just looking at her, I knew something was up you know, that kind of stuff.
Did you guys do the dishes?
We did, because we did not have dishwashers back then.
No, we didn't either.
So my mom would do the dishes, and we would dry.
Oh, okay.
Because my mother said we never scrubbed them properly, or you know, we'd scrub them and sometimes not rinse them, so there'd be like residue of joy or whatever on there, and then you get diarrhea because you can't eat this.
I have visions in my mind of as soon as we were old enough to do it. And by old enough, I mean, if you could stand on a stool and get to the sink, you're old enough.
Oh, right.
Then we would share that. And so-and-so's turn to wash and so-and-so's turn to dry. And when there were three of us, it was wash, dry, and put away. The putter away was, you know, come on, what are you, lazy
you know
bum.
What? That's kind of cool, because the brothers or, you know, sisters or whoever's doing are still talking and interacting and having fun.
Or swearing and kicking at each other. And
As opposed to a dishwasher now.
As opposed to a dishwasher, which I would never part with again. But, you know, I hand wash a bunch of stuff.
Oh, sure, sure.
Well, that's, boy, we sailed off into a different direction there, didn't we?
Well, it's really important this Sunday coming up. And that's why we're launching this early, because we wanted everybody to remember their mothers if they've passed, embrace their mothers if they're here. If you don't have a mother, embrace whoever was very close to you or is close to you now.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, I love you, or a phone call, or appreciation,
like,
or whatever. Exactly.
Okay. And we always end the show with a quote or two. And this was easy to find because they're all about moms. There's a whole lot of quotes out there. This is from Jennifer Garner, the actress. Yeah, this was cool. My mom is a hard worker. She puts her head down and she gets it done. And she finds a way to have fun. She always says, happiness is your own responsibility.
Great.
Man, that's a good one.
I know, it is a good one.
All right. I have one.
All right.
A mother is not a person to lean on, but a person to make leaning unnecessary.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes me think of my mom.
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of when I found this.
I found another one, but I want you to deliver it because it is one of the classics of all time mom quotes.
You found it.
Okay.
You deliver it.
Okay, it's from Elizabeth Stone, and I'll bet most people will remember this. Making a decision to have a child, it's momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body.
Wow. That is amazing.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. And just enjoy whoever is special in your life. And remember, we weren't born yesterday.